Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week for another edition of On Point. We want to just say hello to everybody out there listening. We appreciate you tuning in with us. Want to say good morning to our host, our co-host, Ty Trees. Good morning. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing good. Morning, listeners.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen. Lady Trees, glad to have
good
you
morning.
With us. How are you feeling today? Great. And and last but not least, Dr. James Moore, how are you feeling this morning? Bear with us for just a second there. Okay.
I am well, sir. Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Today, we're going to go over something, fairness and equality. Like oil and water. This week, we're going to explore fairness and equality in America. Tom Brady, Chicago-based Jackie Robinson team, the Little League team, if you're just joining us, is there a difference? What we're going to do is look at the contrast and compare the similarities between these things and these scenarios that have been built up. The Atlanta teachers and the Wall Street magicians, what similarities and differences occurred there? And were the punishments just? And then for our second segment, we're going to explore the topic of, and let me see if I say this right, kinesics. And that's the study and interpretation
yes,
of kinesics. Thank you kindly.
Thank you, kind sir.
The study and interpretation of body language and gestures. We're also going to go back and visit Mr. Brady's situation, too. But under the lens of kinesics, and what did his body language say while he was answering his questions that were being asked of him? Looking back at the whole Little League thing, that I think. How do I say this? I'm going to say this. It's not a color issue with me.
Agreed.
But it's not a color issue with me. This is a matter of ethics. And I think that sometimes where children are involved, sometimes adults only look at issues that address the adult platform. They don't look at the lingering ramifications of their actions, and we'll go into it. Jay, would you like to chime in and start us off this one?
Yeah. First off, I'd like to say I hope everyone had a happy Mother's Day and that they spent some quality time with
yes.
their moms, and that all went well for everyone. Mother's Day is a very important day, and I don't want to take us off topic too much, but we got to recognize the moms and also out there, the gents out there that are doing double duty. Some of us single dads, Mother's Day,
we're
not moms, but we're still pulling the rope.
I think they call us farms.
They call them farms. Yeah, there you go. I love it.
Excellent. Well, going into our topic today, Trey, is something that's kind of been disturbing me for a little while. And where it really came to light was in lieu of the Tom Brady situation. And here's why it bothered me. Tom Brady is a professional. The New England Patriots are professionals. His owner and his coach, all those folks are professionals. And you said it was a matter of absolutely right. It is a matter of ethics. And I think that we have to be aware of there's two types of ethics. We have to look at those things that we do in the light of others seeing, but right. the ethics that we hold when no one else is looking. What does that person
right.
do? That's how you judge a person's character in my perspective. But I find it very interesting that this little league team in Chicago, the Jackie Robinson team, they won and they were stripped of their title. Now, Tom Brady, he won, and as the evidence points out, and we'll touch later on Kinesics to kind of verify some of this, you know, he was also accused and more or less found guilty of cheating. I mean, the data's there. But what I found
right.
interesting is he was penalized for a portion of the season, but he wasn't stripped of his title. And I
nope.
thought that was
or
very, very interesting. Right.
Or any win.
Now, at the risk of sounding too political, I want to bring up something called gerrymandering, and most people are probably familiar with that. And that's basically
right.
rigging a county or district and redrawing it so that the amount, and the more succinct definition is, it's drawing political boundaries to give your party a numeric advantage over an opposing party. It's a difficult process to explain, but what they're saying is
let me help you on that right there. Anybody that's had something that broke or jerry rigging, or there's a street terminology for it too. But I'm a stay PC. But jerry rigging,
okay.
it's the same thing.
Understood.
There you go.
Yes. Yes, so if you can redistrict an area so that it's favorable to another person or another party, that's what gerrymandering is in its essence. Now, this has become commonplace ever since the election of President Obama. It was probably yeah. common before that, but it's come to light. Now, when political folks do that, it's not illegal to do. The guys that do it, they call themselves artists. And I thought that was very
right.
interesting. And if you take that and compare and contrast that to what this little league team did, is basically they said, hey, this guy over here plays well. Let's put him on our team. Now, understand that there are rules and regulations against
right, right.
you know, crossing the boundaries to put someone on your team. And in professional circles, that's called recruiting. But the article
that's right.
I pulled out, they said that, yeah, right? They tricked people, they blindsided others, and they did those things that were strategic but illegal. Now, they said that the players for Jackie Robinson West were found to have lived outside the team's boundaries, which is a violation. And they say it's just a matter
right.
of integrity and dignity. Now, they're putting this weight on the kids, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but talking about integrity and dignity, what's up with Mr. Brady? Where's the integrity and dignity in the Patriots? And that
oil
kind of leads
water.
Me into, well, indeed. I mean, sure, it can emulsify, but it doesn't stay that way. So that got me thinking. Good. Sure.
Let me bring something to light real quick.
Sure.
The Patriots won the Super Bowl. They met with the president. Jackie Robinson's
Jackie
squad,
Robinson.
They won.
Mm-hmm.
They met with the president. The Patriots had a parade. The kids, they went over to Korea. They lost, but they came back and they had a parade. Both prospectively for their community, respectfully for their communities.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots got endorsements, and the kids did too, to some degree. And what it was this, and we'll get back to it. But here was the thing that got me. They had ball clubs, professional ball clubs, looking at these kids, admiring the things that they were doing because they were enabling other children of blue collar workers to participate in
mm-hmm.
in America's pastime, quote unquote, in something other than negativity. Chicago, when you stop thinking about it, Vice Lords pops up. You know, Black Stallions, Warriors, those are gangs.
Mm-hmm.
And they,
mm-hmm.
the crime scene is bananas amongst youth. Crazy. Now, seeing those similarities, putting those similarities out there, and I'm going to try not to eat up too much of our time, but putting those similarities out there, you realize how is it possible that a professional team where guys make millions and a team that's voluntary, that's doing stuff from the community for the community, it's supposed to create an atmosphere that's family oriented.
Mm-hmm.
The actions done by the Little League Commission and Mr. Keener, it's Stephen Keener, he's Little League International President, the CEO. It didn't hurt the team. It hurt the whole freaking community.
Yeah.
Right.
These kids get up there. Yeah, feel free.
What I was going to say was that, I mean, for one, I applaud those individuals who even took the time to even form a baseball team. I mean, to do something good for the youth, to keep their mind, you know, active, to keep their mind in good, positive spirit. But for you to take that away from them, you only going to lead them back to the streets or to something worse or to us reading about them in a newspaper or on the news. So for you to split that up because they live on opposite time, cause they live on opposite towns, you want to break up that team? These kids are doing something good. So why not continue to let them do something good? You let a football team continue to play and you slap them on their wrist, but you took something from a kid that could have possibly went on further to college scholarships, to whatever, to actually the big league, but don't take it away from them. Why take it away from them, which can lead them back to the streets? Give them something to make them feel good about.
I want to add on that, being a sports person myself, someone raised in playing sports all my life from at a young age, I don't have no sympathy for neither of the teams, especially the Little League. Being on a South Side team that's, you know, barely got enough equipment and things, and you go across town playing against teams that got the money and funding to bring kids from other subdivisions and other sectors of town and picking the cream de la creme.
But still, though.
But I understand I'm just saying you have to put it at an even plane. I don't have no love for none of those teams because I was on that team with the little soccer jerseys with holes in it, going against teams that got NBA kind of jerseys and kids this way don't even belong on that team, but yet they there. And when you go up against that, you got to understand that regardless, there ain't no way to resolve it because long as there's a game of sports, you're going to have that human element. And long as there's that human element, you're going to have some sort of corruption or cheating. That's just the way it is.
So you're saying that them being stripped was okay?
I'm saying them being stripped was okay, the Patriots being fined was okay, and how and what justifies the means to the end or the penalty. I mean, we can go on and on, but
that's not fair.
Either way,
that's not fair.
These are kids,
That's not fair.
These are
kids. Hold on.
Think of the other teams that don't have the means that team does to bring kids across town.
What are you talking about? Do you realize that those kids didn't have? That those parents had to go out and bust their booty to make money. They had those little fries.
I understand that. They still had to do the little fundraising.
They had to do the same thing.
I get that.
They just brought other kids in.
I think
we have some very varied perspectives, and this is one of those times where we're going to have to agree to disagree without being disagreeable.
Right.
I don't mean to cut anybody short, but since we brought up the term of the concept of corruption, I want to tie that into the next little piece that still goes along with what we're discussing, and that was this Atlanta cheating scandal that went down. And
oh,
the reason
God.
Why I bring that up is, right, okay. So now let me first and foremost say I'm a professor, so education to me is sacrosanct. It's of the utmost high. It's just at a very high level for me.
It's the holy grail.
Now, it to some degree, yes. Now, that being said, so are people's earnings and livings that they've been putting away. And the reason why I'm making that correlation is because you have here a group of teachers that are cheating, that are putting together something to bump up the kids' grades. Now, they're doing it based on the bonuses that they get. Now, if students score poorly, these teachers lose their job. Now, by no means am I justifying what they did as being right. What I'm saying is cheating is wrong. But let's take that and flip that over to Wall Street, and we can even tie in the housing, the mortgage scandal and all that. We know that those folks did wrong. My issue, my concern, my beef is with this. The teachers were originally slated to do, some of them, upwards of 20 years. Now, the judge came back and softened the deals. But here's – I'm just going to read to you a couple of things. So this Judge Baxter pointed out that he originally planned to sentence them to prison. But when he got to the verdicts, he ordered them to kind of – he mellowed out just a little bit. He changed his mind and allowed them to offer them deals that allowed them to avoid the 20-year sentence. So here's what they did. Davis Williams, 2,000 hours community service, $25,000 fine. You have here several folks who got community service. A few got maybe a couple of months in jail. We have $5,000 fine, 15 hours community service, 1,500 hours community service, $5,000. And it goes on and on and on and on. My point is these folks were punished, originally slated to go to jail. Now, they cheated. Don't get me wrong. But why is there a stiffer penalty for a teacher who helps hold on to their job while cheating? I'm not negating the cheating and helping their district by cheating, but you take someone who works at Wall Street who makes millions and billions of dollars by cheating and also ripping away the livelihood of someone who may have worked between 20, 40, 50, 60, and nowadays maybe 70 years, dang near 70 years of their life, or up to age 70 at least. And what happens to this person? He gets headhunted. He goes on to another company. He gets a golden parachute. He gets $4 million and sent on his way. I'm just trying to figure out, where's the equality in that? What was the justice in that? That's what I wanted to address today.
And this is going to overlap. You guys are going to hear it. But here's the thing. There is no justice there. There is no justice there. I'm gonna say this because we're about to lap over into our next time, but Wall Street's greatest deception is the claim that they're brave risk takers. They put their money into enterprises that's supposed to create America's economic wealth. It's something I learned today: bovine excrement. I love it. I love grammar. It's a beautiful
Well stated. Well
thing.
Stated.
As we've seen. They're not investing in enterprises. They're frittering away America's investment funds on ridiculous get rich schemes. Like, they're gambling, and with your money. When we deposit our money with Chase and Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and so forth, that's us lapping over. When we do that, I don't know if you knew this, but We make practically zero interest loan to them, Wall Street, and then they take the money and they go gambling global, and it's bananas. It's like $2.4 trillion held by J.P. Morgan Chase, for example. $2.2 trillion is borrowed from us. The people that have their money in the bank. It's our cash. They risk it, and they're convoluted. Gambles just fail. When it fails, as it did in 2007, everything collapses. And you know the first thing they do? They run to Washington, and they request a bailout. And they fight tooth and nail against a reform for this sort of action. And it's not right. It's not right. And there's no punishment as of yet. Matter of fact, the previous president rewarded them. I'm just saying. Okay.
Understood.
And I think
you already know it's the osmosis of BS going around with that system. It just recycles and refreshes.
All right. We're going to move on to our second segment. It's like kinesics, body language. Have you ever asked your kid, you ever look at your kid and go, hey, did you eat that cookie, boy? And he look at you, he starts twiddling his thumbs, he crosses his toes, He gets a quiver real quick. He shivers. His eyes blink incessantly, and he goes, "No, it wasn't me. It was the dog, Father. Pookie ate this cookie. It's a lie." His body language told you everything about that entire situation.
And that's a great point, Trey. That, yes.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I teach a communications class online. I used to teach one on ground. And I used to love to do the kinesics segment because of the fact that a lot of times people do things and they don't realize they're doing them. And there's several things. You know, it's easy for your tongue to lie. It's very tough for your body to lie. And there's certain things that we do, emblems, and we have illustrators, what they call affect displays, regulators, adapters. Now, I'm going to go over those real quickly, and I'm going to throw out some examples. An emblem is basically a nonverbal signal that can be translated directly into words. For instance, if I give you the OK symbol or the peace symbol or that other your number one symbol, everybody knows exactly what those two words are. Okay, that's an emblem.
The middle
salute. An illustrator is something that complements a verbal communication by giving an accent or reinforcing what you're saying. For instance, like when we say, it's a big fish. We stretch our arms out to show that the fish was big. That's an illustrator.
Huge. Right.
Affect display, that's a nonverbal display of the body that has some kind of emotional meaning. For instance, we bounce around if we're happy, or we smile when we're happy, or we frown, or whatever the case is. And then we have something called a regulator. It's a nonverbal message that accompanies our speech to control or regulate what I'm saying. So I might be shaking my head like, yes, uh-huh, and trying to get you to agree with me because I'm saying, you want some of this ice cream, yes, and I'm shaking my head, nodding my head. I'm regulating what I'm saying and kind of controlling what you're receiving from me. And the last one is an adapter. It's a nonverbal communication that happens. You don't even really realize you're doing it. They're done to meet some kind of need that you have that adapts to the communication that you're going through. Say, for instance, you're twisting your hair or you're scratching at a cup or maybe pushing your glasses up or, you know, something like that. This is that thing that you do that a lot of times other people are aware of you're doing it and you're not. When you're tapping your pen or whatever the case is. So the reason why I bring these up is because revisiting Mr. Brady, before we get there, I want to show, we've all probably seen Dateline NBC, you know, where they have the guys come in and like, sir, did you know this girl was 13 years old? I remember watching a gentleman, and they asked him directly, did you know this young lady or young person was 13 years old? And as he shook his head yes, his mouth said no. And I thought that was very interesting, because unconsciously or subconsciously, he knew he was lying. And the reason why I bring that up is because we look at Tom Brady. When they asked him, did you have any prior knowledge? As he shook his head yes, check out the videos, you will see him saying no. And another time that they stitched him up into a question, he began to rub his face just under his eye, rub his cheek. You know, some people say, hey, when you lie, you look down into the right or down into the left or whatever the case is. And he was trying very hard to keep his face straight and not to do some of those things, but a couple of those things gave him away. And I'm bringing this up because I think sometimes we don't realize how powerful that nonverbal communication is. Probably about 70% of what we do each day is nonverbal.
I was going to cut in and say that too, and not to cut you off, James, but a lot of people don't know. I mean, by me studying communication and having a degree in communication, 90% of your communication is done nonverbally. So true or not, we do speak verbally, but 90% of it is done non-verbally, whether if it's hand gesture, your eyes. I mean, your eyes can say a lot, for real.
Exactly.
You know? So
I'm going to throw something out there at you. I want to ask you this. Have you ever been in a heated discussion or even an argument with someone and they covered their eyes for a moment with their hand? Have you ever been in that position?
Yeah. So where you've been arguing with someone and you look at their eyes?
And they cover their eyes. What they're saying to you is, I don't want to see you right now. Now, they're not saying that in their words, but they're saying that in their nonverbals. Now, I had a really neat book, and forgive me because the name has escaped me at the moment, but it talked about a lot of these nonverbal gestures and what folks do. And there's a counter to each one of them. And one of the really neat things that they showed in that book, they described is when someone covers their eyes, they're saying, I don't want to see you. When they cover their eyes, reset your position, move from where you were to somewhere else. And
yeah.
when they open their eyes and you are not where they are, it resets their brain so they have to refocus on the conversation. I thought that was a really neat tactic.
That's crazy.
And
now, there,
oh,
what,
yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. What some people would commonly know all of these titles as, or these observations as, is a tell. If you play poker,
yes,
it's a tell.
Yes,
For example, and something I find comforting is, like, I take my fingers and I like a roller coaster. I roll one set of my fingers through the other set of fingers, and then I take them back again. That makes me comfortable when I'm speaking or when I'm listening intently. I do that. Now, some tells are misread.
That's
some
true.
Tells are misread.
And professional liars are good at it.
So it's like, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to say, Trey, there are some people who are trained to beat lie detectors. When I was in the military, I met folks who could do things like that. But I'll tell you, at the risk of coming, like I'm going off on a different track, politicians are very adept at it too, some of them. The ones that are not, you know.
Yes. I wouldn't say, but see, since we're above putting people's names out there, McCain, we're not going to do anything
that.
Phil Richardson. We're not going to say anything like that. We're not going to put people's names out there, Carrie. So I'm just, you know, go ahead. You were saying. Listen.
No, but it's powerful, man. It's body language, if you study it, is a game of chess. And I'll just give you a good example. When you see two dignitaries standing and taking pictures going for the handshake, the person in the position of power is the one that's on the right, a.k.a. our left, as we watch, because the back of their hand is the one that's showing toward the camera. So you'll look and you'll watch them jockey for that position, and it's interesting to see the game, because the person on the right will shake, showing the back of their hand. The person on the left will counter with that left arm covering that right hand to show their palm. And then the other person, if they're adept, if they're adroit, they will take their hand and grab the elbow of the other gentleman. And it's just interesting to see that chess game played. It can be very slick, but very subtle. And it's all in how you know, all in how you operate if you know how it works. Just kind of an interesting little thing.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing, and I'm a wrap it. Sometimes truth, I think that the bitterest pill ever is truth. It's laden with chocolate, honey, and syrup, and it's covered with salt and cayenne.
But
and
it's cathartic,
pepper.
Bro. It's cathartic.
How so?
Because truth gets things off your chest. It may be bitter, it may be salty, it may be sweet, but the truth is always the truth. And I know you're familiar with,
you know,
with the comedian Eddie Griffin.
Hold it. I hate
okay.
to do
this. Go ahead.
I hate to do this because now we're about to get into something completely different, but that's wonderful. Listen, we appreciate everyone listening. Raise your glasses, bottoms to the top, and we're going to say cheers to everyone who actually puts an effort into assisting our community. Those kids, and real quick, the kids that are out there, anything that's positive for them, I'm with you 150%.
Right.
Remember, every thought is grand, every idea is warranted, and for every step you take and every endeavor you make, may they always be on point.
On point.
We'll see you next week.